But one of the reasons is that none of us come born with a PhD. That we're all, as we come into this world as babies, we've got a lot to learn. And so there's a spiritual analogy there in that we have got a lot to learn when we become spiritual babies. 1 Peter 2:2 says, as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word, that you may grow thereby. So, of course, this is talking about, this is pulling that analogy together of spiritual babes and physical babies. So that's one reason. Another reason is that we can avoid mistakes in life. Matthew 22:29 says, you do err, not knowing the scripture nor the power of God. And so we make mistakes in life, and we're going to if we do not know God's word and what he has to say to us and warn us about. Another reason is we need to know God's word. We need to be teachable in order to obey God. We need to keep know how to keep out of trouble, so to speak, with the Lord and with authorities and with life. And Psalm 19:11, that's that passage where it says, the law of the Lord is perfect, restoring the soul. The testimony of the Lord is right, making wise the simple. And it goes on down and it says, talking about the word, it says, sweeter are they than honey in the honeycomb. And then it says, moreover is thy servant warned. Moreover is thy servant warned. And I'm forgetting the rest of it. You know it? Okay. Okay. Proverbs 19:11. That's it. And read it for us, Martha. Can you grab it real quick? Because it's really... there's more to it. Moreover is thy servant warned. And in keeping them there is great reward. Okay. There we go. And in keeping thy word, there's great reward. Okay? I think that's okay. I think I caught it. But to live a successful life, that's it's Proverbs, thank you. Proverbs 19:11. Good. Thank you for catching me on things like that. And then to live a successful life is another reason, according to the manual, so to speak. God wrote the manual. And that's Psalm 19:105. And that says, I believe thy word is a light unto my feet and a light unto my path. And then we need it because God's word tells us to seek wisdom. The book of Proverbs is full of reasons and what God's wisdom will do for us. And so we know that there is great, there's some great lessons, and God really wants us. I mean, he wants us to be wise. Okay, and then for those of you that have been around a discipling ministry and been having somebody invest in your life personally, one of these days you're going to be asked, if not already, to turn around and share with somebody else. And that you've heard and heard and heard a lot of times so much stuff. And sometimes we see students and, you know, they're not taking notes, they're not trying to remember stuff. And one day you're going to think, wow, I wished I had something to share with this person. And so you need it not only, you need to be teachable, not only for your own life, but because one day, if not already, you're going to be needing that for somebody else. 1 John 1:3 says, that which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, that you also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. So in order for us to have fellowship, in order for us to help others to have fellowship with the Lord, then we need to know God's word. We need to be teachable in our own life, to be in the position of passing it on, because there's going to be tremendous opportunities for sharing, but it's got to go through your life first, and then God will use you in the life of another. And if you don't know more than somebody else, you're not going to be able to help them. I mean, if we were just all, I mean, you know, if there was no, if there nobody was ahead of you spiritually, you wouldn't really want to seek them out for any counsel, because, I mean, so, you know, what do they know more than you know? So you've got to be growing and got to be teachable to God in God's word, and God's school, so to speak. Now, question, thought question. Would your mom or dad describe you as teachable? Just think about that. I remember my mother one time said to me, "You would argue with a fence post." Thought, oh boy. You know, I hope I'm still not there. That happened some years ago. But, you know, and what that said was, I was not teachable. What about you? And all of a sudden we remember all those little those times where we just were so resistant, especially to mom and dad. Now, why do we blow off some authorities in our life? I want to answer here. Why do you think we blow off some people, some authorities? Okay, we think we know better. That's it. Lack of respect, okay? So, and those are two good answers. Lack of respect, and because we've got it all figured out. We know better. Okay, now we're going to talk about some more reasons. Anybody else think about a reason why it's important to be teachable? Because as I say, my list is not exhausted. But can anybody else think of anything else? Why it's important to be teachable? Okay, and why do we find...
You're talking about avoiding mistakes. Just on top of that, the idea that people say, well, I want to make my own mistakes.
Yes.
And that really, I think, is for a lot of us folks true. Like, I'm just going to, you know, I'll find my own way and I'll make my own mistakes and I'll learn from them. Mm-hmm. And that really wastes a lot of time, maybe.
That's right. And puts a lot of unnecessary scars in your life. Because you don't have to suffer some of the stuff that some people think. You know, it looks like fun till you've done it. And then, you know, sin has consequences. Therefore, sin leaves scars. Forgiven, but there are consequences. And a lot of times, there's things that you do that will leave scars in your mind. Scars on... The sexual sin, the sin when we sin against our body. You know, I remember as a kid, I mean, I lied and cheated and stole some petty stuff as a kid, and probably you did too. I mean, you're a sinner, and I think you did too with your parents' talk back and all that good stuff. And but when you sin against, when you commit a sin, a sexual sin, or a sin against your flesh, I've often compared it to that verse in Proverbs 6:27-29. It says, "Can a man take fire in his bosom?" And this is old King James. I'm sorry. I just learned it way back yonder. "Can a man take fire in his clothing, in his bosom, and his clothes not be burned?" In other words, sticking, you know. "Can he walk upon hot coals and his feet not be burned? So is he that goes into his neighbor's wife. He who touches her shall not be innocent." And so I thought about that. It's likened to fire. It's an illustration of fire burning. And I think, you know, with the sins against our flesh, against our, that type thing, it's like burning yourself. And years later, I've been forgiven, but the scar is still there. I don't forget it. I've forgotten some of those things of cheating and stealing and, you know, as a kid. But those things leave scars that you carry. And as I say, once you're forgiven, it's okay. I mean, with God, you're forgiven. But there are consequences of sin. And so that, to me, that was just a little picture that made sense. Now, so why do we find it hard to be teachable? And of course, the first thing is pride. And that's that know-it-all attitude. I have got it figured out. Proverbs 18:2 says, "Woe to him who is wise in his own eyes and prudent and shrewd in his own sight." In other words, we think pretty highly of ourselves and our intellect and the way we've done things in life. And we've got it all together. A lot of times we don't want to admit our need, our ignorance. You know, it makes you feel like a kid again. And sometimes we want to just be grown up. And we don't like that feeling of having to be taught. Isaiah 5:21 woe unto those who are wise in their own eyes. But that's Isaiah 5:21. Proverbs 14:12 said, "There is a way which seemeth right to a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. And you know, it looks good, and we've got it all figured out about this thing is good, we're going to do it. And it seems right. But the Proverbs also has a lot to say about godly counsel, and we're going to talk about that before we get through with this. Okay? And you know that the way they title this little workshop about, I've heard that before. You know, that's a dangerous thing. I don't need this any longer. I've grown beyond that. I don't have to hear about the quiet time or about scripture memory or this or that in the Christian life because I've heard all that before. Well, guys, we have good forgetters and they work overtime. And sometimes God may have you in something like that to another workshop on that issue or another message because there's something there that would be a benefit to someone you're working with also. So we never really grow out of needing to be teachable or to listen or to grow. Proverbs 16:18 says, pride goes before destruction and a haughty spirit before a fall. And so that's, and we know too that God hates pride. Says, but he, 1 Peter 5:5 and 6, it says, God resists the proud. I don't know about you, but I don't need God resisting me. I mean, it's hard enough without God being against you. And you know, you probably, oh, you may not have lived long enough, but some of us have, to have seen prominent people who've had that attitude, prominent people in the Christian life that they've gotten beyond. I mean, they, you know, they've heard it all. And yet they've fallen. They, sin crept in. They thought, I'm above that. It'll not happen to me. And let everyone who thinks that he stands take heed lest he fall. So we've got to be careful with pride and that know-it-all attitude. And I think our parents have seen a lot of that in us. And I know God... That, I think that's probably when you get past some sins of behavior in your Christian life, you know, sins of, then that is, pride is the great common denominator in all of our lives because we find that, I mean, I'll never get through confessing pride and dealing with it in my own life. That's just the way we are because we have a tendency to run our own life and to take things in our own hands and, you know, after I've done my best, then I call on God to help me. And so that tells you right there, I'm independent of the Lord. I'm trying to do it my way. And so I've got pride. Now, preoccupation with the earthly. The trash and trivia of life. Are y'all hot? Everybody okay? Warm? Too warm? You want to open a little bit? Let's open the door just a little. And you'll probably have to shut it before we get too cold. I want somebody to read Proverbs 15:14. Somebody's got a Bible handy. It's really. Why don't you look that up? Oh, he really is. Okay, he's very teachable. There, that's good. Thank you. That works. Proverbs 15:14. Read it to us with both lungs, as my husband said.
The mind of the intelligent seeks knowledge, but the mouth of fools speaks only folly. He's on folly.
Okay. The mouth of fools feeds on folly. And you know, we're such a fun generation. We're looking for fun. If it's not fun, we don't want to do it, hardly. So, you know, we're given to entertainment. Our games are called Trivial Pursuit. We're given to trivia, the trivia of life and the stuff that amounts to nothing. Now, I'm not saying that movies and too much television. I mean, I'm saying too much television, but TV, movies, these things, you know, there's not much balance in our life. When you begin to line up what you do to entertain yourself and then how much time you spend getting to know your God, generally there's a great imbalance in all of us. And we've got to all be vigilant. It takes time to learn. It takes time to read. You know, sometimes there's wonderful biographies out there. written sometimes 40 years of a person's life, of a godly person's life, and everything they've learned and what they've learned about God is in a book. And you know, biographies are interesting. They're easy to read. They're not generally very, you know, hard. And most of us like to kind of gravitate to that kind of reading, the story of a person's life. So if you've not yet gotten into reading some biographies, I would challenge you to do that. But watch out. We've got video games, computer games, all this. These things are addictive to us, our flesh. And Satan's going to see to this, but to lure us into stuff like this, but our flesh will gravitate to this kind of the entertainment, the lowest common denominator, so to speak, discipline in the Christian life. And of course, we know that discipline is discipline. It's hard. I mean, any of us that have tried to lose weight, have tried to exercise on a regular basis, you know, discipline is hard. It's hard to get up for some people in the morning, get out of the bed. And yet, we've got to learn. We've got to be disciplined people. You cannot just be sloths through life and expect to be a godly Christian that other people will want to follow and to learn from. A lot of times we don't slow down. And God, you know, we know in the scripture it says that God speaks with a still small voice. And yet we're not quiet enough to hear Him. We were just challenged as recently in a conference to take about 10 minutes every day, perhaps after your quiet time, and just listen to God. Be still. Just listen. And the challenge was, don't have any agenda. Don't have it. Just come to God with no agenda, but just to listen to Him. And just to be still. And as I've been doing that, sometimes I hear nothing. Sometimes I'm just there and I'm just saying, God, I'm your servant, and I'm sitting here listening. If you want to say something to me today, you do it. But if there's nothing, I'm not going to demand that He talk to me or give me some, you know, spine-tingling goosebumps that day. But, God, I'm here. I'm ready to listen to you. And so that shows God, I think, that we're available to Him. And that in the midst of a busy day, just 10 minutes, I challenge you to try it. You know, we live like we are going to be here forever on this earth. And we forget that we're preparing for eternity. That the reason that we want to be like what God wants us to be and to be godly is that we're preparing for eternity. And I think that get all the gusto, I mean, you know, that mentality has driven a lot of Christians even to that fun mentality. And as I say, there's a balance, guys. It's not that we're all just go stick our nose in the Bible and stay there and, you know, never do anything else. But there's a balance. And we've got to be careful. We're usually overbalanced in the other way. Okay, then laziness. You know, if you learn something, it's going to take some effort. And it's going to require you to do something. Sometimes people don't want to learn something new because they're going to have to change their ways. And so a lot of us have a lazy streak down our back, so to speak. I need somebody to turn to Proverbs 24, 30 through 34. Stephen, would you do that for me? Bo, would you look up James 1, 22? Let's see. I can call some names here. Ellen. Go for Proverbs 6, 6 through 11. And then 1 Timothy 4, 7. Annie, can you get that for us? Thank you. Okay. Let's read Proverbs 24. Whoever's got that. Okay, so slothfulness, this is sluggard. That's a word we don't like to have used of ourselves, but I think it accurately describes us sometimes. Okay, what about 1 Timothy 4:7? Okay, so we're told to discipline ourselves for the purpose of godliness. 1 Timothy 4:7. And it's going to take discipline if we're going to be godly. Okay, James 1:22. Okay. So we deceive ourselves. When we come to the Word, we see what God is telling us to do, and we walk away, and we think, oh, we're okay. We forget what we saw. You know, as I said, most of us don't, we tend to be a little bit on the lazy side. We can be. A lot of us don't plan to grow or be teachable because we don't take notes. We don't. You know, Max has said this many times, if he went to college or Texas A&M, where, like most of us go to church, he never would have graduated. Because most of us go to church and we just sit there like birds and, you know, open our little mouths and say, feed me, but worms, spiritual worms, so to speak. And if we don't take notes, we don't try to remember anything, but you go back and try to take a test in one of your classes acting like that, and you'll flunk it. And so we need to let God know we're serious about learning from Him. Somebody once said, the dullest pencil is sharper than the sharpest mind. And so we need to be doers of the Word, but we've got to know it before we can do it. Okay, Proverbs 6:6-11. So, you know, we're just saying, oh, it's okay. I just need a little more sleep. I just need, you know. And so we find that we have an illustration here. God, we're pointed to the ant, the diligent little ant that doesn't have anybody standing over him saying, checking you off this week. Did you do this? Did you do that? I mean, I don't know about you. Accountability helps me. And I don't think that's what it's talking about, but that the ant is diligent, and that's what we need to be doing, be diligent. Okay, the word disciple. Disciple is the embodiment of teaching, of teachability, because the word itself means a learner. And I want you to think back. If you identified with any of those attitudes, the attitude of pride, the attitude of laziness, the attitude of preoccupation with earthly things, with the earthly, or if you find yourself resisting being teachable, and sometimes I think if we're honest, we'd say, well, I'm not resistant to everyone, just certain people. I mean, you know, you might listen to a professor that you respect, but what about the one you don't respect? See, and you know, you've heard this from your parents for so long, and it's just, they're kind of old fogies. They just don't know what it's like to be a 20 years old. Well, they do too. It hadn't been so long. They haven't forgotten. But if you find yourself resisting, perhaps it's rebellion in your life, disobedience. Sometimes it can even be the fact that some people don't know the Lord, and so they don't have a hunger for God's Word, and therefore it's hard for them to be teachable or to want to come to the Word. Therefore, to learn. And I know I struggled with that at one point where I was really struggling with assurance of salvation. And I tried to trying to have a quiet time, trying to memorize scripture, and it was just like dry straw. And I'm thinking, what is wrong? What is wrong? Why? You know, I'd be looking around at other people around me, the other students, and boy, they were excited about God's Word, and they were having this intimate fellowship with the Lord, and they were praying and seeing answers, and I was struggling. And I think, and so I really began to question if I really knew the Lord or not. And so sometimes, if you find yourself in this, you know, it's hard to be teachable when you don't know God, when you don't have a personal relationship with Him. And I, as you hear me, I'm jumping back and forth from being teachable from the Lord, from God's Word, to people in your life. And God will use both to teach us. But if you find yourself in one of those situations with attitudes that are resistant to being teachable, then there's confession is in order. Agree with God. Just get aside with the Lord, tell Him, this is wrong. And I really do want to be teachable. And you know, the scripture that talks about honoring your father and mother, I think one of the greatest ways that you and that I could honor parents would be to go back and say, would you teach me how you do something so well, Mom? Would you teach me, or you, Dad? You know what will happen in their minds about you, what they'll be thinking? They're going to be, wow, this kid's growing up. They finally realized I'm not an idiot, and I know something. And so, but I think you can do more honor, show more honor to your parents by letting them, by going back to them and asking them to teach you something. I would challenge you to do that as a project. I don't know when you want to do it, but just I often think that just to go back even to say, hey, Mom and Dad, we do this with couples getting ready to get married, is to go back and say, what is one thing you've watched my life? You know I'm getting ready to get married. What's one thing that I can change that would make me a better partner for marriage? But now, that would work if you're not getting married. I can't handle 50 things. I mean, they may have this huge list for you. But, you know, I can't handle 50 things at once. But I would suggest you do that as a single now. Go back and just say, what's one thing I could work on that you think would make me a better person, that would really make me more successful in life? And you just watch your estimation in their minds leap about 100%. Because here you've been probably resisting them for so long that they're in shell shock, probably. And this statement here, you'll never trust God unless you know Him, and you're not going to know Him unless you're going to be teachable and open to learning. You know, we never graduate in the Christian life. Never, never. Until the day I die, I have to keep learning. I teach a precept Bible study. I do it for me because I need it. And you may not know what that is. That's, if you may have heard of K. Arthur, but that's a Bible study course. Max, we're getting ready to retire one of these days, sooner than later. And I think he's going to get his doctorate next year after all these years. Never, but anyway. So our whole staff is getting ready to go to a marriage conference to help our marriages, because we have just not arrived. Kids, you just don't do it. You just can't keep all the balls in the air, so to speak. In your Christian life, you continually need to keep growing. So what are some characteristics now of a learner? One is a heart for the Lord, and that comes when you know Him, for one thing, but there's a definite desire there. There's a hunger to know more. A person who has a heart for God is not satisfied with just surface stuff. It's been said one time, a hungry person is willing to eat with a plastic fork. Doesn't have to have a silver spoon. But he's willing to learn from anybody. And you know, this hunger, or this desire for God, this heart for God, is developed by spending time with Him. If you don't have that, the more time you spend with the Lord, the more you're going to want to spend with Him. And you, when you may start out with not much hunger, but it will grow. We need to stretch our spiritual stomachs like we do our physical stomachs sometimes. Then to be available. You've got to take time to learn from other people. Sometimes if you will talk to a speaker after he's spoken, ask questions, I'm just, this is what I mean by being available, is just being a thinker after a person has spoken. Go up and ask them, what do you mean by so-and-so? Or how would you suggest I do this? And you can learn from them. Get extra time with them. Maybe you want to, if you can do this, it's good, is to say to the speaker, do you have lunch plans? Can I have lunch with you? Go sit at a table where the main speaker is sitting and just listen, because you'll learn an awful lot just being around somebody who's conversing with somebody else. Now, open. A person needs to be open. Your mind is not made up. A lot of times we have come to situations with preconceived ideas. And you, if you're meeting with someone on a one-to-one basis in a mentoring relationship, you need to have questions. You need to come, you need to let them know that you're open and that you're receptive to them by asking questions. You know, sometimes we always talk to people about, it's so easy when you're meeting with somebody. They kind of come and it's kind of, they sit down in front of you and it's kind of like they don't say anything. And it's kind of like, well, bless me if you can, you know. And they're just waiting for you to dump on them. And that's not teach them all this wonderful stuff. But unless you're hungry and have questions and have thoughts and how can they help you, they're not, a person that's mentoring you is not a mind reader. And so you need to be able to say, you know, I really struggle with this issue. What would you suggest? Or, and you need to be open and you can learn. Did you know you can learn from even the devil himself? And we ought to. 1 Corinthians 2:11 says we're not ignorant of his devices. So, and you can learn not just from respected leaders, perhaps or speakers, but your parents, from your roommates, from your peers, and even your enemies. There's going to be two types of people that are going to tell you the truth about yourself, those that love you and those that hate you, your enemies. Really, if they'll tell you the truth. Acts 17:11 talks about people, the Thessalonians. It says these were more noble than those, the Bereans. They were more noble than those in Thessalonica, and that they searched the scriptures daily to see whether what they were being told was true or not. And we need to be open. We need to go to the Word, see what if, you know, is this what is really being said, and being open. Now, humble. Psalm 139:23-24. I know somewhere I had a typo here, and I'll try to, you might catch me on it here. But anyway, Psalm 139:23-24. Anybody know that? Search me, O God. Okay. See if there be, what? Go ahead, somebody. And lead me in the everlasting way. Okay, search my heart. So we're humble before the Lord. We're humble even with people that are ministering to us in a mentoring relationship, a discipling relationship. We're not a disputer. We're not an arguer. James says in James 1:19-20, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, and slow to wrath. Now, but it says, for the wrath of man works not the righteousness of God. But you may have even heard somebody say, God's given us two ears and one mouth to listen twice as much as we speak. And so the person that's humble is going to be listening more than he's going to be trying to show off what he knows. Pride a lot of times can get in the way. Proverbs 18:2 says, this man does not delight in understanding, but only in revealing his own opinion. That's the Berkeley translation in Proverbs 18:2, which you probably don't have access to, but it's probably close in somebody's Bible. but just revealing your own opinion. It's kind of sad when a student, I know Max was just sharing, he said a student got with a man of God, but he did most of the talking. The kid did. The student did. Why? Well, trying to impress the guy with what he knew, where he was spiritually. So I need somebody to look up Proverbs 17:27-28. You want to do that for me? Proverbs 17, 27 and 28. Okay. Can you do it a little louder?
No, I'm sorry.
That's okay. Okay. So sometimes when you don't open your mouth and share your ignorance with people, they think you're really smart. And so sometimes it's really wise to keep your mouth shut. And it's interesting that Proverbs tells us that, isn't it? Okay, now this person that is the person who has the characteristic of a learner is that he seeks out and listens to counsel. Proverbs 12:15. I need somebody to look up Proverbs 12:15 for me. Would you like to do that? Okay, I'm just catching eyes here, of those of you I don't know your name. And Proverbs 1, 5, and 7, back there. You got a Bible? Good. Okay. Why don't you go ahead. Okay. The way of a fool seems right to him. So there again comes that verse, there is a way which seems right to a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. That's another kind of a repeat of the same situation. So we have to be careful. Remember Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not to your own understanding. Our hearts can deceive us, guys. Jeremiah 29, is that it? Says that the heart is deceitful and desperately wicked. 29? Okay. Okay, good. We got close anyway. Got in the right chapter. Okay. Go ahead now. Would you read yours in Proverbs 1, 5, and 7? Fools despise wisdom and discipline. Says it pretty plainly. That needs no translation. But let me go back to this thing of seeking counsel. When you've got large decisions to make, it's really good to go and get counsel from godly people, somebody you respect. And, you know, we were talking about a situation the other day, and this girl and guy got married, and it was too quick, and people around knew, and they'd been married less than probably 5 months, and it's already, you know, she's already out of it. And her mother said to, well, are you getting some counsel? And she said, yeah. And her mom said, who? And it was her friend, her buddy, who was counseling her to get out of it. And so, guys, that's not really counsel. Okay, you want to go to somebody who knows God's word, who's walking with God in their own life, and that will give you objective counsel. I always think when people are getting married, you need to go to talk to somebody who knows both of you, and to say, hey, is this good? We think it's good, but what do you think? And be honest with us, because most people are just so, oh, you're getting married, yay, you know. And they won't tell you the truth because they're afraid of what you're going to, how you'll react to them. And they expect, you know, you expect them to just be happy for you. When really, there's some people maybe around saying, oh, no. You know, because they see things that you do not see. And so, guys, counsel is valuable. And I've got something at the end of this thing about how to reject counsel. Because counsel is not God. Necessarily. You still, when you go for counsel, you have to come back and pray about that and weigh it. But it says in the multitude of counselors, there's safety. Proverbs is full of that, about getting wise counsel for what you're going to do. You do that, I mean, you know, you may do it, find it easy to do with things you really don't know about, and like a new job, or should I do this, should I do that? But when it's something you really want to do, sometimes people are scared. They don't want to go for counsel. They don't want somebody telling them that's not a good idea because they want their own way. You know, God does not give us His Word and give us gems out of His Word and truth for us to say, well, I'll consider it. I'll think about it. Well, if I really want to, or if that's, you know, we're so used to keeping our options open. You know, a lot of students today, you will not commit to anything because you, till the last minute, because something better may come up. Well, guys, God doesn't operate that way. You know, I mean, if we're not committed to Him, He's not committed to give us anything either. I mean, He does not have to, you know, direct us or guide us if we're coming half-hearted and really picking and choosing with His will. So we've got to, counsel is valuable, very valuable. And it says in a multitude of counselors, there's safety. Okay, now, I put two things down here at the end. I don't know what time we're supposed to be through. I guess it's in about 15 minutes, so we may be through early. How to respond to rebuke or reproof. Now, I'm assuming that all of you know, this has to do with being teachable. Because there'll be people in your life, if they love you enough and you give them the privilege of doing this, is to correct you. Because we are so nearsighted, all of us have got blinders on to some issues in our own life. And a person, it says, he that rebuketh a man afterwards shall find more favor than he that flatters with the tongue. I mean, I can walk up to Ellen and I can just, oh, Ellen, you're just the sweetest person. You just da-da-da. And I can just butter her up. And, you know, she likes me. You know, she loves me. But if I really have her best interest at heart and I love her, and generally she has, I would wait till she would give me permission to work in her life or to observe things and give her counsel about something or to correct something in her life. But if I know she's walking with God, it's better to correct her than to flatter them with the tongue. So I might say, Ellen, you know, I've noticed something. I may be wrong, but I've noticed something I think you need to be aware of and need to think about, because it does not jive. To me, it may not, doesn't seem to jive with the Word here. And I want you to check that out. I've noticed this. I may notice. With some people, you know, somebody may notice you're lazy. And, I mean, that's not a good thing for a Christian. And your testimony's being hurt. See, we hurt the cause of Christ by the way we live if we do not allow people, and not everybody, we're not saying everybody runs up and just lambasts you with all your faults, but somebody that loves you. And see, when that they will point out areas that are not consistent, that perhaps are blind spots, and we've all got them. We've all got them. But let me just tell you this. To be corrected never feels good. Never. I don't like to be corrected any more than you do. I mean, it never feels good, but it's valuable. It's valuable because we really don't see ourselves a lot of times. But now, here's how to respond to it. Let's say that, and here's the typical response is, well, yeah, but, you know, but you didn't see this, and this is what really happened, and so we defend ourselves. And somebody, if I went to Ellen, or she came to me, and she said this, and, you know, she told me something, which was fine. It's a two-way street, guys. She can tell me something that she's noticed. And my tendency is to defend myself. I mean, that's always the tendency with all of us, is to defend ourselves. But what I've learned and what we need to practice is saying, Ellen, thank you. I'll really think about that. I'll pray about it. And I appreciate your sharing that with me. Okay, now that is a choice of my will, not my emotion. Because in my emotion, I'm going, ooh, that hurt. You know, somebody saw something wrong with me. And I don't like that. And so, but I say thank you. I go aside, I pray about that, and let's say there, it really was something that she did not have all the facts about, or I did not have all in the situation. And then I go back at a later time when there's not a sense of, well, Ellen, yeah, you saw that in me, but you. So you turn the tables on a person. Yeah, but you. Look what you did. Do you see what I'm saying? That's what our tendency is. And so, but I go back and I say, you know, Ellen, I really appreciate what you shared. And I'm trying to, I'm really looking at that, and I've tried to deal with it. But I want you to know there was, you know, there was some other, there were other circumstances involved. So that's the way you respond at, to when somebody corrects you. It always hurts, but it's valuable. Okay. Now, rejecting counsel. How do you reject counsel? Okay, somebody gives you counsel. Let's say you go to somebody. They're getting rough in there. Let's just say that you are asking about. I wonder if I should take a good enough illustration, but you disagree with that. You talk to somebody else, and you talk to a third person, and you put all the facts together, and then you think, well, you know, I really, they didn't think I should do that, but that's what, this is what I think I ought to do. Okay, now, here's what happens. If you ignore, let's say I give Bo that, give him some counsel about something, and he goes against that counsel. But let's say he doesn't come back to me. And you know what his tendency is going to be? He's going to try to ignore me because he's kind of, I didn't do what she said, see? And so there's you tend to shy away from a person, whereas you need to go back and say, hey, I really appreciate the counsel you gave me. But as I've talked to others, as I've prayed and thought about it, then this is what I've decided to do. And I have to, as a counselor, I say, hey, fine, that's great. I'm not God, see? And counsel is counsel. But anyway, does that make kind of make sense as to how you keep that relationship where you don't break that fellowship with that person? But have you ever felt that way with somebody? You just kind of want to go, ooh, I hope they didn't see me, and they realize I'm doing exactly the opposite of what they told me to do. So if you always go back, then it makes the relationship clear. Okay? Now, thoughts or questions about teachability? Good. Go ahead. And they didn't come back? Oh, if they did the wrong thing? Well, that's their choice. When somebody comes and asks counsel and they choose, they have to they stand before God. I mean, I don't want to be God in their life. I don't have a license to be right. I can direct them to Scripture. I can, and to tell them why. But then they're on their own before God to pray and find out what He wants them to do and then to be obedient. But it's got any thoughts, Martha? You want to share about all this? Anybody else? Brian? Okay, I may have skipped that. Number four on why it's important to be teachable. I skipped the whole business, didn't I? I think I had my pages right here. Okay, no wonder we got through early. Thank you. Let me see here. Why it's in, where did we get to? Front page. Okay. Why we find it hard to be teachable? Is that what you said? Oh, important at the top? Okay. Excuse me. Let's see. I better check and see what I've done here. Okay. Number four is, I think it was to live a successful life. Is that what it was? Okay. Now, let's see, did we finish this outline here? No, I don't think so. Practical tips to becoming a learner. What did we get to? Oh, open to rebuke. That's what we got. We dealt with that. And has a heart ready to obey. Good grief. I think my page is missing. Okay. And that is being willing. That's that thing about picking and choosing what God, you know, what we want to do apart from God, what He wants us to do. Hebrews 5:11-13. Let's look that up. Somebody get it for us. Catch an eye here. I'll catch your eye, okay? Hebrews 5:11-13. Here we go. Yeah, I got my page out of order. You want to read it?
Yeah. We have much to say about this, but it is hard to explain because we are so poor that the writer's time has been teaching. It's a wonderful chance that the elementary teachers and all of them, all of them, need to help on solid food. Anyone who lives on the open field is still here. It's not a brain of the teaching that matters.
Okay. So by the time when you ought to be teaching people, you're still needing milk because you weren't teachable and weren't growing as we should. Okay. Practical tips now to becoming a learner. We'll just run through those really quick because in some of this we probably touched on. But ask God to make you a learner and be your foremost teacher. Just pray. Make good observations. When you are... Philippians 4:9, those things which you have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do. And the God of peace will be with you. That's what Paul was saying to those Philippians. And he said, so we need to look. We need to make good observations with people. We need to pick up on people's attitudes, how they handle things, how they respond to different situations. And you can learn from people, from godly people, and the way they... And sometimes you'll think, I don't want to do that. I shouldn't do that. That's not a good thing. Or that's good. So be observant. And that's another way to be a good learner. Take good notes. And you know one thing about note-taking. A lot of people think, well, I'll never go over them, so why take them? Well, because it runs through your mind and goes out on that paper, and it'll stick a little bit better. But write down illustrations. I don't know about you, but I think I love illustrations because I remember what the guy was trying to say there. It kind of makes the point come alive. And so if you can make a note of the illustration so that you can retain what was being taught. And when I take notes, let me just make a suggestion. After years and years of note-taking and reams of papers and notes, and I mean, when we die, our son was going to take a match to all that stuff because we've got notes when Max was in college and me. I mean, and we're talking about a long time. And so, but one thing I thought, if I had it to do over again, when I hear a message, then to go back, read it once, highlight it, the things I wanted to retain out of that message. I'm never going to preach a whole message, probably, that a preacher's preached, but there's some thoughts in there that are very, very good. Maybe on a topic, maybe he said something about prayer. Maybe it was a message on finances, and he said something about prayer. And so I want to highlight that, and I want to take my scissors and cut that out and drop it down in a folder on prayer. I want to say who said it and when they said it so I can quote it and to give credit accurately and not be dishonest. And then start with get yourself a filing system if you don't have one on a topical system. Like, for instance, if you took notes tonight, what are you going to do with those notes? Well, if you've got a folder on teachability, just make yourself one and drop it down in there. You're going to hear in your lifetime, you're going to hear something else about that. And so, and I star my verses. Let's say we went through some verses today. Are you hear sermons, hear a sermon with some good verses in it. And maybe some of them just, you know, but some of them that you think, well, wow, that's a good verse. I want to memorize that. Star it. so you can pick it out and then transfer that to a page in your notebook called future memory. So when you get ready to memorize a new verse, you know you've got one there. You want to memorize that. You may not get it done this week, but maybe 3 weeks from now. Be a good listener in one-on-one situations or in small group situations. Look the person in the eye and resist the urge. Have you ever seen this? We're talking and I'm looking over here at the other people walking around. You know, I'm supposed to be focused here on Micah, and I'm it's hard. So maintain eye contact with the person you're listening to and resist the urge to be distracted by other things going on. That kind of says you're not really paying attention. You're not really here learning. You're just being nice. Formulate and ask penetrating questions. Be proactive. For instance, after Dave Geisler has spoken, you know, you might go up to him and ask, I noticed you did this with that person. How can I really key into all this better than I would normally do? Ask something so you can learn something more. And I think we've talked about God puts a high premium on wisdom. A teachable person values wisdom. That's Proverbs 2, 1 through 5. And then some things we've alluded to as we talked is seek out a godly, mature mentor who's going to agree to help you. If you want to grow, if you want to be, and you want to be taught by somebody who is farther along the road than you are, they don't have to be 20 miles, but just somebody who's been on the path a little bit longer than you have, and you admire their life, and you can learn from them, some things from them, then ask them to help you spiritually. Hebrews 13:17 says, obey them that have the rule over you, a spiritual leader. It says, and submit yourself. In other words, to submit means to get under as a foundation. It says, submit yourself with joy. That they may do it with joy, and not with grief, for that's unprofitable for you. Okay, now let's make sure we get that picture now. So it says, what I'm suggesting is that you would submit yourself to a spiritual leader that they may help you in your own life. And it says, and you submit yourself that they may do it with joy and not with grief, that you're not resistant, that you're not an arguer or a debater, or that you're there to learn how to better walk with God. Now, spend time then. This is similar, but spend time with godly people who are further along the road of life than you are. Proverbs 13:20 says, he who walks with wise men shall be wise, but a companion of fools shall be despised. Okay, now, does that say anything to you about your friendships? Your close friendships. Be careful with who you know. I mean, we are to be in the world, but not of the world. And so we need to be careful about the friendships, the close friendships we have. You can have acquaintances and you can do things in groups, but be careful with being buddy, buddy, buddy with a fool, a lost person. You need the strength and the companionships of wise people. Okay? Now, I think we got through it. Maybe. Did we? Good. Thank you. I can't believe I didn't. I didn't get my pages numbered, and then all of a sudden I'm thinking, oh, wow. Got any more questions, any thoughts you want to add to this? Anybody? Well, let's pray. Martha, would you lead us, please?
Father, we pray that a learner about being a learner. The stuff that we've heard from Sandra tonight, that we can really apply that not only this week, Gloria, Lord, but for the rest of the year, that we can really take home things and not just take notes. And help us to have a heart that's in shoot in Christ's name.
Amen. Thank you. Oh. Hey, I would recommend you get to her workshop too. She did it last year, and it was wonderful. Okay? It was wonderful. She was cool. That's right. This is Martha Moore. For those of you who don't know her, this is Martha Moore, and she is a, I guess, missionary in Germany. And, you know, we got a message the other day from the Foreign Mission Board that we are to be careful about identifying where our missionaries are, where their kids are. That's scary, guys. You know? And so we don't identify too much. Who's where and what they're doing and why.
Getting all these security things from the consulate, the embassy, telling us, you know, gather all your personal belongings, your passport. You get a call, be ready to go.
Yeah, that's lovely.
Yeah, and if war starts, then we're going to get, everyone's going to get a call from our cluster leader just to make sure he knows we're all going to be.
That's okay.